One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Christian has such a hope set out before him. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. We get a little bit of a glimpse of that when Paul begins to describe these realities when the Lord Jesus Christ returns on the clouds of heaven, and he says, "We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we read, in Thessalonians, who are alive and who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." We should always comfort one another with these words. We're going to do that today on Abounding Grace as we look at part two of the message that we started yesterday, what to expect when you're expecting, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Such a glorious truth of the glories held out for the believer in Jesus Christ. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. Visit us on the web at agradio.org. agradio.org. Find us on Facebook, download the apps for your smartphones, and if you are able, do please support us to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring these broadcasts to major population bases in the U.S. Thanks again for tuning in to Abounding Grace. Here is that message now, part two of what to expect when you are expecting.
Notice what he says. Where is our hope? What are we looking for? When your loved one dies in the Lord, some of you have had spouses die, sons, daughters die. Your hope is not what they call the intermediate state. You understand that? Your hope is not the intermediate state. Our hope, their hope, is not the intermediate state. That's right now. Yes, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. But it's not a complete project, and our hope is not on an incomplete project. We need to be clear, when people die, they are not in heaven dancing with Jesus. They're with Jesus, but they are longing for something. They are wanting something more. They are saying, "How much longer?" And he says, "Well, I see I got all these people who still need to come in yet." They don't have their eternal tent yet. Paul is saying to you tonight, your hope is the sound of the trumpet. Did you get that? That's your hope. That one day a sound is going to blow, a trumpet's going to blow, and everyone's going to hear it. There's no secret rapture of the church. There's nothing secret about it. Everyone's going to hear this trumpet. Comes right out of Jesus' mouth, of course, in Matthew chapter 24, when he said, "One day when we least expect it, there's going to be the sounding of a trumpet." Same trumpet, not different trumpets. Everyone is going to hear it. And listen to how the events will unfold. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, you're living in that tribulation, by the way. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. There it is. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. So the very time clocks, if you will, for days and seasons and months and years are now removed out of the place, and you've entered into eternity. No need for that. the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. He's riding on his glory cloud. He's coming down, and everyone will see the sign of the Son of Man coming down on the clouds of heaven with great glory. And that is for non-believers. They are terrified at that moment. They're crying out for the rocks to fall on them and hide them, because the one they spent their whole life hardening and rejecting has just shown his face. But then the New Testament writers want to make sure you understand what's going to happen to you. When he comes in all of this glory and fire and power, he's come to give you rest. That's 1 Thessalonians 1. And Jesus says he's going to send his angels to the four corners of the earth. They're going to go to Africa. They're going to go to China. They're going to go to Escondido. And they're going to gather together his elect from the four winds of heaven. The trumpet summons us. And Paul gives further detail when he says, when it sounds, all of the dead are going to be raised in Christ, incorruptible. No more misery. Mortality has put on immortality. Their souls, those who've died, will come back with Jesus, and he's going to pull their bodies, whatever mess they've been in. Remember, it's no problem for him to reassemble. He created in the first place. No problem for him to put back together. He's going to raise those very bodies out of the ground. Their souls are going to be reunited with their bodies. But something really glorious is said in the midst of this. But I've got something really exciting to tell you. Not all of you are going to have to go through that. Some of you are going to be alive when he comes. One generation will not have to die. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when that trumpet sounds, I can't snap as good as I can do it. You're changed. The word there is so fascinating. It's the quickest moment of time ever possible. Changed. Done. It's over. You realize that could happen at any moment? Here's what Paul wanted, where he wanted to take us tonight. Here's his goal. He wants us to understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ has secured for you the greatest victory. When the trumpet sounds, the last enemy is swallowed up forever. You see, he dealt with your sin at the cross. He dealt with Satan. Yes, there's an ultimate crushing of him, but in principle, Satan's dealt with. In principle, death's dealt with. But you know, the one thing that we still struggle with is the fear of death. You know you go through that. I go through it. I'm not talking about fear of judgment beyond death. I do believe when people sin, it's easy to fall back into questioning, am I a child of God and is God going to judge me? And that is a struggle with belief. And you know what 1 John has told you to do. You should stop sinning and you should go to him and you should ask him for forgiveness, and he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what you do. Stop. That's what I'm talking about. Unless I'm one of those who is blessed to witness the second coming, my grandma told me my generation would be, so it must be true, right? Every generation's thought that their grandkids will see it, by the way. Unless I'm one of those that will be here, unless you are one of those that will be here, if you're not, you still have to die. You hate that thought. I hate that thought. It's a terrible enemy. Man, it's a terrible enemy. It's likely there will be no two deaths that are the same in this body, by the way. Million ways that great enemy can strike tonight. Million ways. It doesn't care about your age either. Did you know that? Somebody once wrote, "There's a preacher of the old school, but he speaks boldly as ever. He's not popular, though. He's not popular, though. This world is his parish. And he travels every part of the globe and speaks in every language. He visits the poor. He calls upon the rich. Preaches to people of every religion and no religion. And the subject of his sermon is always the same. He is an eloquent preacher, often stirring feelings which no other preacher could, bringing tears to eyes that never weep. His arguments none are able to refute. You can't get mad. You can't stop this preacher. Nor is there any heart that has remained unmoved by the force of his appeals. He chapters life with his message. Most people hate him. Everyone fears him. His name? Death. Every tombstone is his pulpit. Every newspaper prints his text. And someday, every one of you will be his sermon. How does it make you feel? It should tick you off. It should make you angry that looms over your heads. You might not get up tomorrow. I've seen a healthy man go to sleep and never get up again in my ministry. I've seen him strike children. I've seen that preacher. He is relentless. How wonderful is the gospel of God. Amen? When Jesus comes, corruption's done. All mortality, all death is cast away forever. And our preacher, Jesus, casts down that preacher enemy forever. He kills him. One of the greatest joys we cannot imagine is living every day of our existence away from the face of that enemy. You don't know how much that enemy troubles you. You don't know. Every night you go to lock your doors. There was a helicopter flying over this whole area the other day. And all I could hear was, "Come out of the ditch or we're releasing the canine." Darcy was panicked, of course. What do you think I'm doing? Locking my doors. Because in that could have been the enemy of death coming for me that night. Never again to know that. Never again to fear that. Never again an accident taking a two-year-old. Never again cancer stealing a loved one. "Behold, I create new heavens," said Isaiah, "and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be gladness." No more miserable people. "I will rejoice in Jerusalem. I will be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old. It's using here all this poetic language to describe. It's never going to go on. A sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall labor, not labor in vain, or bear children for calamity." What a promise. The Old Testament held out. all the Old Testament prophets longing for the defeat of death. In fact, you notice what Paul cites there? Oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Do you know where that's taken? Hosea. He's mocking. Listen to this. Listen to Hosea 13. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Oh, death, listen, I will be your plagues. Well, that takes on some meaning. Oh, grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes for you. That's his sermon to death. That's speaking to you, O Israel of God. You say, how do I know it's true? How do I know it will be? It's the gospel you've always been taught. He says in verse 56, the sting of death was brought about by what? Sin. And that's what led to all the corruption. And God has steadily and carefully shown you through his law. That's why he published his law, by the way. God published his law. The ultimate intention of the law was to show the strength of sin is the law. The law shows you what's wrong with you. And Paul said, the law shows the exceeding sinfulness of sin. I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The law opened all that up for you. God taught you what the problem was. Sin reigned, and look at what he's done. The capstone of joy to this whole chapter is this. It all comes down to this. But sin reigned, death reigned, our bodies were full of corruption, but thanks be to God. We are so thankful to God, says Paul. We've got a lot of thanksgiving to give to God, says Paul. Because he gave us a special gift of his grace. He gave us something. You know what he gave us? Out of the abundant storehouse of his goodness, out of the wonderful good treasure of his good pleasure, he gave you the victory. He handed you the victory. You didn't earn it. You didn't merit it. You didn't do anything to get it. Your life was not victorious. He handed you a victorious life. That's how. The victorious life of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in him, in Jesus. And he handed you that as a gift. That's your God. What the law could not do, what sin wrecked, God did in his son and handed it to you. Breaking out of the tomb on the third day, extending his hand of forgiveness to you, giving you faith so that you would have a victorious Christian life in him because it's his victorious life. And you participate in that. You share in that resurrection glory. There remains an inheritance set apart for you. The trumpet one day is going to sound. And he's going to give you a body just like his so that you can be with him forever and ever. That's your God. That's how marvelous he's been to you. Sometimes I feel like I keep saying all these things. We keep rehearsing all these things. We keep preaching all these things. And I wonder, are we like a bunch of spoiled young people yet to appreciate what God's done? Sometimes I look at young people in the Christian church and I think everything's been handed to them. They've all had everything. They've never had to work for anything. They've had everything in their life paid for, all their schooling, all this and that. And everyone's worried about them. Everybody caters to them. And we have all these servants, older people in their lives who care about them, who will do anything for them, who will provide for them, who will feed them, who will have outings for them, who have had endless youth groups for them. And I'm wondering, have they ever stopped and said thank you? What more can he say than to you, he has said? Then I think, have I stopped and said thank you to him? You should know him in the power of his resurrection. If you want to say thank you tonight, let me give it to you. Verse 58, you could memorize this week. It comes with a great therefore. If this is all true, you'll be raised gloriously in power, no more sin. It was all gift, no more sting of death because you enjoy the love of God. You want to say thank you? You really mean it? You want to go live a thankful life? Do you really mean it? Therefore, my beloved brethren, a church full of messes, Paul speaks like that. My brothers, verse 58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I just love that verse. Your whole life of sanctification is just motivated by rooting it in the sure victory of Christ and the resurrection glory that set out for you because of your union with Jesus. How can you thank him? Here's how. You can this week be steadfast. You can have your feet firmly planted in him. You've heard of the ways of darkness. You've heard of drinking parties. You've heard of all the things that are of darkness, immoral living, patterns of thinking that are of the darkness, joining with the world, doing things with the world. You know, you could continue to do those things, but then you're not really a thankful person at all. But if you're truly thankful, you could plant your feet strong. Be immovable. So that whatever you experience in life, whatever tests and temptations, whatever hardships, whatever false doctrines are coming at you that the Corinthians had to deal with, whatever struggles in your bodies that hit you this coming week, don't be tossed everywhere from them. You should be firm in your walk. You should be great conviction in your hearts because God's loved you this way, shown you the light. You shouldn't be running around in doubt and despair. You shouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but you should remain strong in his grace because that's what he's held out to you. Always abounding in his work. Isn't that a great encouragement? You know, idle people fall prey to the devil. God's given you work. Truth doesn't make you lazy. It doesn't produce a carefree life of eat, drink, and be merry. You should be filling your hearts with doing his work and your lives. One pastor said, he is so abundantly overdone himself for you, who deserves nothing from him, who deserve nothing from him. We should determine to overdo ourselves in his service to him, to whom we owe everything, not for salvation, but just to be thankful. And then he encourages us by saying, I want you to know that when you're working, it's not in vain. I notice it. I see your good works. I'm watching them. What an encouragement. I notice your good works. We continue to press on knowing, as Paul says, we have not yet attained, but we press forward, laying hold for that of that for which Christ has already laid hold of. For us. I pray this encourages you tonight to keep your heart set on heavenly things. For soon, the Lord Jesus Christ will appear in glory, and he has promised you that he's going to transform your lowly bodies and make them just like his body to be with him in glory forever, ever before, the glory of his light, enjoying him in eternity. Let's thank him tonight. Gracious Heavenly Father, we confess that we are not very thankful at times for all that you've done. You handed us the victory. You secured for us the victory. Not our victorious Christian life, because our lives have been a mess. But the victorious life of Jesus, who fulfilled righteousness and went and took on that darkness and rose triumphant and handed us his victorious life so that we have this future mapped out, sure and certain for us. We praise you and thank you tonight and ask that we would give serious thought to verse 58 of how we could be thankful in this life. To be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that whatever we do in Christ, in those good works prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, are not in vain in the Lord. And in your praise tonight and in thanksgiving, we pray all of these things, blessing you in your name for your wondrous love. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face to face in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.